Unlock your imagination and help us create improbable worlds and makeshift stories. When my son was younger, we used to play a bedtime game. We would invent characters and then improvise a story. Makeshift Stories is created in the spirit of our game. We have invented a fantasy world that our imaginations can explore, and you are invited to join us by adding your ideas for future episodes. Come visit us at our website at makeshiftstories.com. Please listen to our show notes at the end of tonight's story. This week, Episode 2, The Escape.
The tunnel sloped gently upwards. It was never meant for creatures larger than a trifle, so Tim had to crawl while Amos easily scampered ahead, periodically baiting him.
"Hey, you big oaf,"
taunted Amos.
"I haven't got all day. Get a move on."
"I'm going as fast as I can,"
panted Tim.
"Hey, Amos, I was just wondering, did the trifles always live here, or did you come from somewhere else?"
Amos stopped and turned to face Tim. He puffed himself up, and the spikes on his armor bristled. It occurred to Tim that the armor must be similar to his suit, so those little spikes must actually move when the wearer is agitated.
"Until you prove yourself, our history is none of your business, Mr. Tim. Now move it, or I'll get your clothes to start prodding you in a most unpleasant way."
"Hey,"
exclaimed Tim.
"I thought I controlled the suit."
Amos laughed, and then turned and continued up the tunnel. Soon they arrived at the end, where a rock door blocked the entrance.
"Tim, put up your hood. It'll help you breathe on the surface,"
he explained.
"I don't need a hood. Trifles are used to the thin atmosphere."
Tim pulled the parka hood over his head, and Amos commanded the door to open. Amos cautiously poked his head out and slowly looked around.
"All clear,"
he said. As he clambered onto the surface, Tim followed. To Tim's amazement, there was almost no trace of the hordes that had apparently thundered through only minutes ago. A small trail, meandering off to the horizon, was all the evidence that something had passed.
"It sounded like there were thousands of them,"
Tim said in a puzzled tone.
"But if I hadn't heard it, looking at this, I would say there was only a handful of Oathers walking single file."
Ignoring Tim's comment, Amos pointed to a small dark spot on a low-rising hill, overlooking a large, flat expanse of what looked like clumpy snow.
"That's where the outpost is. Let's get going,"
snapped Amos. Amos set out at a brisk pace, and Tim hesitantly followed behind. The surface was soft, and Tim's feet began to sink in. After a few steps, Tim looked in surprise as his boots began to transform into flat shoes. They continued to grow until Tim's weight was supported. Taking a few more steps, Tim looked behind and noticed how his snow feet barely left a mark in the slush. They crossed fields of broken gray rock mixed with the clumpy slush. It looked to Tim like someone had taken the whole surface and put it through a blender. Even though the sun was high in the sky, some of the brighter stars could still be seen through the thin, greenish atmosphere. Pools of greenish liquid formed where the sunlight warmed the rocks. Had Tim not been still recovering from his fall, it would have been a pleasant walk out to the site. Amos was quiet except for the occasional command to look out for a rock or an unusually deep hole. Tim surmised that the potholes must have been caused by long-gone rocks that had warmed and melted in the slush. Amos caught Tim staring at a pothole and explained,
"The big rocks eventually sink. Everything sinks, unless it's on solid ground."
After another 10 minutes, Amos and Tim arrived at the crushed outpost. Tim didn't remember it being that far from the underground base, but then his memory was still not working right. There was a deep depression where Tim had crashed, almost like a snow angel, except the legs were cut off by a pile of rubble, which Tim guessed were the remains of the outpost.
"I'm lucky that only my feet hit it,"
said Tim.
"Landing on rock could have killed me.
Lucky for you, not my outpost,
replied Amos.
But at least I hadn't installed the equipment yet. You crushed the stone enclosure that would have housed the eyes and ears. Most of it's underground. Here, take a look at these plans.
Amos handed Tim the Quanticom.
I don't understand. The drawing looks like just a pile of rocks,
remarked Tim.
It's supposed to,
Amos snipped.
It wouldn't work if you could tell it was there, right? That's a drawing of the pile of rocks before we started building. The rocks have to look like that when we're finished, down to the smallest pebble. The Oathers would notice if something looks out of place.
So,
Tim thought out loud,
if the pile was perfect before I landed on it, and the Oathers saw where I landed, and I messed up the rocks, wouldn't changing them back make the Oathers think that something was up?
Amos frowned. His armor spikes bristled.
Okay, you're right. I hate it when you giants are right. You're always pointing things out like this.
Growled Amos.
Fine then. We'll only repair the support beams underneath. Come on, I'll show you the hidden entrance.
And with that, Amos scurried over to a large boulder and disappeared. Tim followed. Once inside, Tim saw the same polished stone walls that he had noticed in the Triffles' home base. He looked up to see what looked like bent metal supports.
That's what you need to fix,
added Amos.
And after you straighten them, then you'll have to rearrange all the rocks outside to look like you've just landed on them.
But that doesn't make any sense. The rocks are already...
Tim cut himself off and conceded.
Okay. How do I straighten the beams?
Like Margo, the last monster giant, you possess the strength to bend things. Please try,
encouraged Amos. Tim looked at one badly bent beam, then kneeling on all fours, pressed his back against it. At first, nothing happened, so he pushed harder, until he thought his back would break. This time, the metal slowly began to move. Tim grunted as he pushed.
Keep pushing, Tim,
encouraged Amos.
It's moving.
Tim pushed and grunted, and the metal creaked and groaned, but reluctantly gave way to Tim's efforts.
That's enough,
cried Amos. Tim dropped to the floor exhausted.
Good going, Monster Tim. We only have 10 more to do.
10,
protested Tim.
My back will break before that.
Take your time, Tim, and I'll tell you about our history while you work,
volunteered Amos.
I need to take breaks,
replied Tim.
Well,
Amos began.
We can't quite remember when we came to Sarah's, but like you, it was apparently an accident. We didn't drop from the sky, we just simply arrived. The entire advanced administration team and the Oathers all appeared here at the same time. No one who comes here started out trying to get here. No one uses a ship. No one knows how they arrived. There's only been two giants, you and Margo. And both of you dropped from the sky.
What happened to Margo?
Grunted Tim as he tried to straighten another beam.
Margo went to talk to the other Oathers, and she never came back. Soon after that, the Oathers found where we were, and we had to move. So some of us think that she told them, and some think that she was forced to tell them, but she hasn't been heard from again. We think that either Margo is working with the Oathers, or they have imprisoned her. The point is, everyone just arrives on Ceres, and no one has ever left. If you are lucky, Tim, you will never have the misfortune of meeting the Oathers. They are not part of our administration group, and we don't know why they arrived here with us. They were hostile from the start. We create order. The Oathers destroy it. We have been working since we have arrived to find a way to leave, but the Oathers have ruined all our attempts.
Tim moved over to the last beam.
Have you ever talked to them to see why they're trying to stop you?
Asked Tim.
No. The Oathers won't talk to us. The giant Margo tried, and look what happened to her,
exclaimed Amos. Tim pushed the last beam into place, and Amos turned to leave through a hidden exit. Amos suddenly stopped.
Did you hear that?
He inquired.
I thought I heard a movement outside.
Tim and Amos strained to hear. After a few moments, Amos said,
I guess I was wrong. I thought I heard a shuffling sound outside.
And with that, Amos exited right into the middle of a large group of Oathers. Amos turned to stop Tim, but he was too late. Tim poked his head through the exit. The Oathers collectively gasped and moved back.
A giant!
Cried their leader. All Tim saw was Amos, surrounded by what looked like another group of Triffles. On closer examination, he noticed that they were slightly larger than Amos and wore brightly colored hoodies instead of armor. Each had a pair of adaptive boots like his own that distributed their weight and left no impressions on the surface. Their fur was white and coarse, and they didn't look like they were in a good mood.
Who are they?
Tim asked Amos.
They're the Oathers, Tim, and they've got us.
The Oathers' leader stepped cautiously forward.
What Amos is trying to say is that we are the others. Amos could never say that word, right, Cousin Amos? No Triffle can pronounce our name, so they simply call us the Others. We call ourselves the Sodality. We are distant cousins of the Triffles. We're their shadow, so to speak. But enough for now. We need to get to cover before the sun goes down.
Tim emerged fully from the outpost. Towering over the Sodality, he said,
Come on, Amos. Let's get out of here. They can't stop us.
Tim tried to turn and pick up Amos, but found his clothes wouldn't cooperate. They stiffened into a steel-like shell.
Good thing that Amos got you to wear the suit of obedience.
The Sodality's leader laughed.
He probably told you that it would protect you, but he forgot to mention some of its more interesting features. There in the fine print of the rental agreement, which he no doubt forced you to sign.
Tim looked at Amos with a questioning expression, but Amos just shrugged.
Did you not think, Mr. Giant, that there would be a way to control those clothes other than by your voice? Now come along willingly, or I'll have those clothes do it for you. And struggling against them makes things quite uncomfortable.
So reluctantly, Tim, Amos, and the Sodality marched toward a distant hill on the horizon. The sun was starting to drop, and the temperature plunged with it. Even the suits were having trouble keeping their occupants warm. The surface began to freeze so solid that Tim's boots adjusted their size down, making it easier to walk. But the Sodality picked up their pace, forcing Tim to jog to keep up. He noticed how his clothes were subtly controlling his movements, so he didn't glide over the surface when he ran. Tim suspected they didn't have a choice in the matter and quietly whispered,
Parka, stop. Parka, stop.
His parka quickly confirmed his suspicion.
Voice control is not available at the moment. Please try again later. Sorry for any inconvenience. You can file a warranty claim at the manufacturer's head office if you feel the suit is malfunctioning.
Amos was just in front of Tim. There were no guards around him.
Of course,
thought Tim.
They have control of his armor, too.
As the last of the sun shot green rays across the frozen landscape, they arrived at the Sodality's base. Unlike the Triffles, the entrance was not hidden, but jutted aggressively out of a rock cliff face. Made of some shiny silver metallic material, it seemed to want to be found. As they approached, Tim could see that the surface was covered with some type of writing that seemed to change as they got closer. First, there was just a series of large symbols which danced across the structure's surface. These were replaced with hundreds of smaller glyphs every time Tim tried to focus on a single symbol. When his attention shifted, the large symbols reformed again. It had an almost hypnotic effect. A familiar pain in one of Tim's ankles brought Tim back to reality. Amos looked at him and said,
You'll have to kneel. The entrance is small.
The Sodality's base was less like a base and more like a comfy lounge. Although there was equipment similar to the Triffles, It was sectioned off from the main area by a semi-transparent wall. The center contained areas to rest and relax. Many of the Sodality were absorbed, reading from book-sized devices in their laps.
Look how they waste their time, lost in reading about past and fictional worlds. No wonder they have never found a way to leave this place.
Emil scolded in disgust.
This way,
commanded Ify. She led them down a somewhat drab tunnel to a holding area, painted in gray with gray plastic furnishings. She was about to speak when a huge boom shook the entire base. The Sodality leader looked worriedly at a device on her wrist and said,
My, my, it looks as if another giant has crashed nearby. I must go. Why do you giants fall from the sky?
Ify yelled over her shoulder as she hurried away. The base quickly emptied as the Sodality went to either greet, or more likely, as Tim suspected, capture the unsuspecting giant.
Tim.
Amos frantically tapped Tim's leg.
It's our chance to get away. If we leave now, we'll be long gone before they realize we're missing.
Wouldn't they just take over our suits again?
Tim questioned.
Not if we get far enough away,
explained Amos. Tim and Amos raced for the entrance. Without the constraints on his clothes, Tim could again glide over the surface, and with Amos on his back, Tim quickly put a great distance between themselves and the Sodality base. When they thought they were far enough away, Tim slowed and put Amos down.
Amos,
he gasped.
How do you know their leader's name? Why did she call you cousin?
Ify is my cousin,
Amos sheepishly replied.
One more question,
asked Tim.
Why does no one want to be out on the surface at night?
Well, Tim, that's because no one has ever survived more than a few minutes.
Amos looked at a distant hill on the horizon.
We've got to make it over there before we freeze. Let's get going, or do you want to stand around while I calculate how slim our odds are of making it?
Thanks for listening to our second episode of Makeshift Stories. Before we go, we'd like to talk a bit about how you can get involved. Our story changes from episode to episode based on your suggestions. In this episode, we added some plot twists, created some new characters, and started another storyline based on my son's suggestions. Although we wrote the first two episodes before our website launched, you can now go to makeshiftstories.com, click on the Post an Idea link on the homepage, and add your ideas for future episodes. You can subscribe to our webcast at our website, look us up on iTunes, Podcast Alley, or Blueberry, or follow us on Twitter at KidsSciFi. We're submitting makeshift stories to other sites all the time to make it easier to find us.
To read our show notes for this episode or find out more about our open-ended stories, please visit our website at www.makeshiftstories.com. That's www.makeshiftstories.com.